Good morning. See, what plan are we on? B C D E. Well, here we go. We're going to attempt to have a worship service now. Just a few minor little glitches. Computer didn't want to cooperate, and minor things. No music. That's why you magically found a hymnal popped in your lap a couple minutes ago. You don't? Oh, I sound like I'm echoing up here. Must be out of these speakers. I got a big mouth, so there are some announcements to call to your attention this morning. First, our guest speaker is not able to be here. We have another guest in the form of Lynn Kaufman. She's going to share some thoughts with us today. Nate, unfortunately, he and his family have come down with COVID, and so he's not going to be with us today. Live Nativity Teardown is scheduled to be on the 15th, which will be this next Saturday at 9 a.m. for those who would like to help. Something else. Of course, let's remember, Pastor Arnie. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Oh, well, then I'll stop yelling. One other thing, let's remember Pastor Arnie, who is over in Kenya, got a phone call from him yesterday. Well, first, I got one from Lynn. I don't get texts or messages from Lynn very often. When I saw Lynn Kaufman, I thought, just for a split second, I thought, oh, I hope Arnie's okay. And he is. He's fine. When I talked with him, Lynn shared a little story of what happened to him over in Kenya, and I encourage all of you, when you see him next, ask him how the kiss of a giraffe is. He apparently got a kiss by a giraffe, so. He also visited a coffee plantation, and so now he's an expert on coffee production and all that fun stuff. So be ready. I'm sure he's going to be wired when he gets back home, all that coffee. So anyway, please then look on your bulletin also the prayer and praise patch. I have a number of individuals there. The family of Ingrid Drown, who passed away, continue please praying for that family. I understand there was a private service held already. But nonetheless, I'm sure some cards and phone calls would be a nice thing for us to do as a body, church body. There are other names there for you to take a look at. Mabel tells me that Jill and Michaela are doing lots better, doing okay now. So that's a praise. And then you see some other names. At the bottom of that page, you see the council members for 2022 that we installed last week. So any concerns, please feel free to contact any one of those individuals. Any other announcements? Okay. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we're delighted to be here again. Things are kind of starting out to be a little chaotic this morning, but we just give you all the praise and glory because things are going to be just fine because you promise that you'll never leave or forsake us, and that includes conducting a worship service. And for all of us who are here, we look forward to our time together as we share in song and in word what you would like us to know, how we can encourage one another, how we can grow in our own personal lives. We just give all that to you, Lord. And Father, there's a number of individuals on our prayer patch this morning, and there's probably some unspoken requests that are on the hearts of many. We just ask, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you'll attend to those needs and continue helping us grow as a group, as a congregation. We know you love us so much, and we are very, very grateful for that, Lord. And now be with us as we continue on our time of worship through song and scripture. And may all the glory and honor and praise go to you, O God. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Sing. We're going to sing, if you please would stand. Hopefully the words will appear. Living for Jesus, your hymnal is number 605. 605. My screen's blank. Looks promising. And next we'll sing, I Surrender All. Seated.
Just wanted to check and see if anyone had prepared for a children's message today. Wires have gotten crossed and people continue to get ill, and so I'm just checking. And I think the person that was scheduled to do it did, in fact, get ill. So no problem. We're just continuing to move on, and want to let you know, Lori, did you have, we'll go ahead and we'll dismiss the kids at this time, and we'll continue on with our message. So hold on to your hats, ladies and gents. All right, well, you can tell today is a little bit different day for us. And I don't know if God wanted to really hit home the sermon and the message to me as well as you or what, but it's kind of ironic because we're kind of talking about when life throws a curveball at you, how do you respond? It's quite fitting today. It's also quite fitting for the last couple of years when you have COVID, right? Life has thrown us curveball after curveball after curveball. God is able, more than able, to work through every single curveball that life throws at us. Right? He is. So today, I kind of have two parts. The first part, I'm going to be talking about lemon shakes. How in the world can that possibly fit in, right? Lemon shakes. Well, first, I have to let you know, of course, hopefully, maybe Pastor Arnie is even watching this as we speak. I spoke with him this morning. I spoke with him yesterday. And we have been revamping as things continue to pop up and change on us. And he loves Chick-fil-A's lemon milkshakes. Anybody else like those? When he finds out there's a Chick-fil-A around, he usually needs to go through the drive-thru. My son used to work at one, and so that has become a special little treat for him. So a lemon shake, if you've not had one, it is perfectly blended with a little bit of lemon flavor along with a regular milkshake. But sometimes, if you try and make one of those at home on your own, you might not experience the same flavor as we had tried a little bit on our own until Aaron set us straight and kind of gave us a few tips on how they do things without divulging their recipe. But what we first tried kind of ended up being a sticky, icky, ooey, gooey, lemony mess. It was not the perfectly blended lemon milkshake that we were ready for. And that kind of got me thinking, that's how life is. It'll throw you a curveball. And we have the choice. How are we going to respond to that curveball? Basically, we're going to respond positively or negatively. And it's our choice. Let me read a couple scriptures for you. They are not listed in the bulletin. Nate has wonderful notes in here. Hopefully, he'll be able to return and share those with us next week. So just ignore the notes and the scripture in there for this time. And just sit back and focus and listen. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. In other words, focus on the scriptures. Focus on the principles that God has given us. Romans 12:2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. When we do that, we kind of get a superpower, the ability to recognize and know God's will. That's a pretty powerful superpower. How often have we wondered, is this God's path for me? Is this what I'm supposed to do? Wouldn't it be great to know? We can. 2 Corinthians 2:5 says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. That's where the power comes from. We get the power when we know God, we know his word, we soak in it, we let it permeate every area of our life, we are able to stand up against the enemy. We are able to fight. So that's kind of the foundation of where we start, where we're coming from today. But the lemon shake or a lemon mess, it's all about, do we act or react? How do you respond when life throws that curveball? The twists and the turns, the surprises and the celebrations. Not all of the curveballs are negative, right? Arnie getting to go to Kenya while it being chaotic, that was definitely a positive. That was a very exciting opportunity for him. Some of the curveballs can be positive. So the famous saying, when life throws you lemons, you make lemonade, right? Well, my take on that today is when life throws you lemons, you make a lemon shake. So let's stop for a quick second and ask yourself, in the past month, when you've been given a curveball, how have you responded? Is it that initial knee-jerk reaction, emphasis on jerk? It may be not the exact way you really want to respond. Maybe you respond in a hurtful way. Maybe someone else gets hurt, or you are hurt. What's your natural response? Is it chaotic or is it calm? Sometimes you might still be a little scared or nervous, but that doesn't mean that you still can't face it. Or, to put it another way, when life throws you lemons, do you make a lemon shake? Or is it that icky, sticky, ooey, gooey, lemony mess? We either react or intentionally choose to act to life in a variety of ways. And the way we respond, it's kind of like the ingredients we need to either make a lemony mess or a lemon shake. So what's it look like? What does it look like to respond to life and make that icky, gooey, sticky mess? When we react, it's a knee-jerk reaction. Oftentimes, we're reacting out of fear because of the lies that we have allowed ourselves to believe, maybe even out of our feelings. And granted, feelings are not bad because who created them? Our Heavenly Father created them, and they are good and they have a purpose. But sometimes how we act on them is what is not so good. Maybe we act out of fear of the past or fear of the future, the what ifs. Maybe we act in fear of not being in control, wanting to manipulate the situation. God might need my help. As if God ever needs our help, right? We could act out of fear of rejection, abandonment, betrayal. Maybe it's a fear of being found out because we think we're an imposter. You know, that's a thing, the imposter syndrome, where people see one thing, but you feel like on the inside, you're totally different, and you have to hide that. Maybe it's a fear of not being enough, fear of failure, fear of death, fear of my past catching up with me, fear of myself. That's those doubts. Maybe a chink in our armor, imperfections. Sometimes we're vulnerable to the enemy. That's what that chink in the armor can also be. He knows where we're weak or when we're weak, how we're weak. And that's sometimes when he has that carrot that he dangles in front of us that entices us to maybe do something that we originally had not set out to do or would ever want to do. Could be other things, fear of God's plans, fear of God, fear that God's not real. There's so many different things that can go through our minds and our hearts as to why we respond the way that we do. Those are things we want to fight. We don't want to give in to those, right? But we don't have to just sit back and accept them. We don't have to think them. We don't have to feel them. God is bigger than those. So we want to fight those off, but we want to reach for these kinds of things. We want to act intentionally, purposefully, planned almost, to be able to make that lemon shake. How do we do that? I think it's based on faith, truth, and facts, the principles, the scriptures, fruits of the Spirit. I think a lemon is still a fruit, right? So fruits of the Spirit apply. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Other godly traits like trust, power, humility. Those are the things we want to reach for, that we want to search for, that we want to focus on. Fight the one set and reach out and grab hold of the other set. That's where we're coming from. So we know and we're more aware of how to act or react, okay? But what does that really, how does that apply? How do we really do that? What does that look like? I think it boils down to our thoughts, right? Our thoughts are that foundation that God has given us. And what you pour into those thoughts will boil, bubble up to the surface, and come out in our actions, in our behaviors, in our words, in our choices, in our decisions. I think our thoughts are the precursors to our actions. You know, there's a saying, what you think, you are. What you think, you become, right? If you're dwelling on all of that negativity, do you usually wake up happy, peppy, smiling, and singing? No. Your thoughts matter. They can change your whole perspective. So there are two camps of thought, positive and negative. I like to think of the negative thinking. I call it stinking thinking. It's toilet thinking, okay? It is not Christ-like thinking. We don't want to play in the toilet thoughts, right? We do not want to be there. So we have to identify our thoughts. Which camp are your thoughts in? It's almost as if we have a manila file, you know, like in your offices or at school. You have that manila folder. You have one folder that is the enemy. You have another folder that is you, your thoughts. And we have the third folder that are God's thoughts. When you have a thought, you need to stop and think, what file does that thought belong in? You've got to file those thoughts, identify them, track them down, and label them. It will help you, because then you'll know if it's a thought that is really, truly coming from out of the blue from the enemy, you need to what? Fight it. If it is a thought that is following the principles and the patterns of God, you want to reach for that. You want to draw close. You want to fight for it. And then there are sometimes those thoughts in the middle where they're kind of random thoughts, maybe. They're your thoughts. Sometimes there are even zingers that go through your thoughts. You know, just weird, strange things. They're not typical for you to think about. You know they don't line up with the Word of God. Maybe you're not so sure that they're necessarily from the enemy. They're your thoughts. And when they're your thoughts, sometimes you have to dig a little deeper in those too, right? Because you can be thinking about something and coming from your perspective of your past, your pain, your grief. Sometimes you need a little help digging through your thoughts. You might need to go to a trusted friend, a pastor, maybe even a professional counselor. And that's okay. Other people can give us insights and perspectives and help and observations that we would never come up with on our own. Learn to file those thoughts. The God thoughts. I'm going to focus just a minute on those especially. How do you know if it's a God thought? Probably need to get to know God, huh? That'd be a good first step. Have a relationship with Him. Have a daily relationship with Him. We know this. We know that by reading His Word, we're going to find out more of who He is. What drives Him, what He thinks, His perspectives. But you got to read them. You got to study them. And sometimes you need to marinate in the Word. As if you're a piece of, you know, pot roast that you're getting ready for. You've got to sit and marinate. Let it dwell. Let it abide. Think about it throughout the week. Sometimes we want to, you know, focus on reading through the Bible and getting through it in a year. That do we really digest it? Do we really understand it? Marinate in the Word. Have those daily devotions. And listen. Listen. What is He saying? What does He want you to do? He created you. He has plans for you. He loves you. He wants to work through us in this world. So because our thoughts are what shape our actions, listen to yourself. Become aware of what kind of thoughts you have. File them. Identify them. Who do they belong to? The enemy? You? God? If it's the enemy, kick them out. If they're yours, analyze them a bit. Understand them. And if they're God's, draw close. Then you'll have that strong foundation, the renewed mind, so that whatever curveball life throws at you, you'll be able to intentionally and purposefully act from a place of faith, truth, and facts. We don't want that icky, gooey, lemony mess. We want to respond to life in such a way that God gives us that awesome lemon milkshake that Pastor Arnie loves so much. I pray that that's how we can respond to our thoughts so that our actions can glorify Him, so that we would be a light that attracts other people and draws them closer to Him as well. I'm going to pray. Father, today has been chaotic. Today has been many curveballs. This week has been many curveballs. If we were to take a survey of all the curveballs that have occurred to us with everyone in this room, We know life can be chaotic. It can be messy. It can be unpredictable. It can be unwelcomed. But you are a God that is bigger than any curveball. And you are able to turn whatever is bad into something that is good for your glory. Help us to see each time those curveballs come, how can it be turned around for your glory? How can this bad in our lives be used to point others to you? Help us take our eyes off of ourselves. Listen to you, look to you, focus on you. Father, you have an awesome life planned for us, one that is filled with ups and downs, celebrations and victories, parties, joys, blessings, and curveballs. But you're there to walk through those curveballs with us, and we're so thankful for that. Thank you for today, Lord. Thank you for the curveballs that have come our way. Help us to know what it is that we need to learn from them so that we can be more like you. Thank you, Lord. Do we have special music for today? We do. John, would you like to come up and do special music for us? That would be awesome.
Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Let not your heart be troubled. His tender word I hear, and resting on his goodness, I lose my doubts and fears. Though by the path he leadeth, that one step I may see, his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow. Watches me.
If you would stand, we will sing a cappella, our last song. Thanks, Lynn, for your message. Our title is Just a Closer Walk with Thee. Isn't that something we all desire? I hope it is. And I hope each and every day we pursue that walk and take that walk. So join me in singing Just a Closer Walk with Thee. I am weak, but Thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to Thee. Just a closer walk with Thee. Grant it, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to Thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. It's number 564 in your hymnal, by the way. I'm sorry about that. Through this world of toil and snares, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burdens shares? None but Thee, dear Lord, none but Thee. Just a closer walk with Thee. Grant it, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to Thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. When my feeble life is o'er, time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely o'er to Thy kingdom shore, to Thy shore. Just a closer walk with Thee. Grant it, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to Thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
Lord, draw us closer to You. Help us to know You more and more every day. Help us to consistently soak in Your Word. Help us to speak and to act like You. Help us to love others as You do. Fight the fear. Draw closer to the Scriptures. And take time to understand Your thoughts. File them. Whose thoughts are they? So that we can act and speak the way He does. We love You, Lord. Amen.